Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers. So again, they stay longer, spend more, and refer more, and these are all great things in your business. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm so excited about this week's show because my very special guest is none other than Denise Griffiths. She's founder and CEO of Your Office on the Web and Gotta Go Virtual Now. So actually, let me tell you a little bit about Denise. As I said, she is the founder and CEO of Your Office on the Web and Gotta Go Virtual Now. Denise is a nationally recognized virtual assistants industry expert, online business manager, VA coach, and mentor. She is also a passionate web developer and serial online entrepreneur who believes that any person with the knowledge, skills, ideas, drive, and the ability to mobilize resources can create high-impact business. I love that. Denise is also the host of the very highly popular internet radio show, Your Partner in Success Radio, where she interviews internet industry leaders, renowned authors and speakers, and professionals in their own industries. The virtual assistants industry, online business managers, web developers, they all share their success stories, the passion, the energies that help them and their business knowledge. It's a really, really cool show. I'm very privileged and honored to be interviewed by Denise on that show exactly twice now. And today, yeah, I'm about to turn the tables on Denise. How you doing, Denise?
I am well, thank you. That was a glorious introduction. I sound really good.
I like to set people up so there's no pressure on to bring good stuff here.
No. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you for asking me to come here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, my audience, I think, is a lot like yours, entrepreneurs and small business owners. And so, you know, I know a lot of people do listen to your podcast. And first of all, outside of your professional introduction that I gave, please, can you tell my audience something else about you, either personally or professionally, or both, if you feel so inclined, that I did not cover in that magnificent intro?
It was magnificent. In fact, I'm going to go back, listen to it, and write it down so I can use it on my own websites. There's not a whole lot to tell. I'm a passionate home cook. I love, love, love to cook. I live in the Deep South, and we will eat anything that doesn't get away quick enough.
Wow.
So I love to cook. I know, doesn't that sound terrible?
Deep South? Is that Louisiana?
Louisiana, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I am equidistant between Hurricanes Katrina and Rita.
Oh, wow.
So for me, crawfish is like popcorn. You know, we eat a lot of, you know, very fresh seafoods, and yeah, the food is good. I also am a lifelong insomniac, which is probably why I get so much done. I sleep like cats do and kind of just fits and starts.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fits and starts kind of throughout the day or at night, or do you just sleep a few hours at night like I do?
I'm up and down all night long.
I actually
posted on Facebook yesterday, I think it was. I was groggy all day long. And when I finally tried to figure out what was wrong with me, why I wasn't just going at full tilt, it occurred to me that I had slept 6 hours in a row, and it threw me off big time.
Wow. Sometimes I'll end up, when I'm in creative mode, like right now I'm writing my book, but if I'm creating another program or product, if I wake up at 3:30, 4 o'clock, and my mind just engages, of course I go to bed at like 9 o'clock anyway, so that's still, you know, a good 5 hours. But then about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I say, gosh, I'm unusually tired. And I'll realize I've been working for 12 hours.
Right.
You know, 12. Well, that explains a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I love your podcast. It's one of only three or four that I listen to on a regular basis. It's really great. You got a really good style and a way to get people to share some of their good stuff, and I did take notes on your techniques, so we're gonna get started here. So my first question is, so you are a serial entrepreneur like myself.
I am.
How and, how and when did you get your entrepreneurial journey started?
When I was about five.
Wow. So is that the baseball cards or selling ice or what?
No, I was making Halloween costumes for all the neighborhood kids and charging them for it. I was very good at it.
Well, were your parents entrepreneurial or what gave
no,
you? I mean,
no.
You just got the bug or what?
You know what it is, Jim, and this probably tells your audience more than they need to know about me, but I'm a run with scissors kind of gal. Mm. I really don't play well with others in tight quarters. I just don't. I'm an introvert and I like to be left alone to do my own thing and, you know, kind of work within my own mind. And given that, when the internet kind of popped up, and I mean, I've always had a computer. I had one when they were still DOS machines. I had one before. Excuse me, I'm a little bit out of breath. I was running here. Before there was anything, but I always knew that at some point I was going to craft a life and a business for me that allowed me to work from home with a computer. And I knew it when I first saw them. I went, oh, that's it. That's my answer. And I just had
wow.
to wait for technology to catch up with me.
Now, did you ever work for anybody else, or have you always been entrepreneurial?
Periodically, but mostly I've always owned my own businesses.
That's so cool. That's so
yeah.
cool. You know, I was being interviewed. I'm trying to think who it was. I can't remember. I was interviewed this morning, and the gentleman who interviewed me, we were got talking about the state of entrepreneurialism, at least as far as making people aware of it. And that's kind of a big passion of mine. I'll
mm-hmm.
admit it's a big passion of mine I don't quite know what to do with yet. But, well, let me explain. You know, I think, you know, kids are coming out of high school barely able to balance a checkbook. And
they can't
let alone,
write.
And they can't,
spell.
But all they know they need to do at that point is get a resume, fill out applications, and get work. They're
mm-hmm.
not even taught that there is another path. There's another fork in the road, if you want, and it's start a business. I mean, it could be anything, cutting lawns, but, you know, work for paycheck. I mean, you know, work for profits instead of a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what'll ever come of it, but I do think it's a shame. You know, you know my daughter Jessica, so I've helped
right.
her get her business started. I just think it's so awesome when there's something else other than just, you know, working for the man, so to speak, you know.
That's exactly right, and you know, I can give you a little local antidote here. My yard crew, who I've had for years, they just quit showing up. I don't know if the guy died, if he quit, if he moved, but he didn't have the courtesy to say, I'm not working in that area anymore. Now, he and his crew have been doing my yard work for a number of years, and I was just in a snit. You know, I'm trying to find somebody who could take his place, and finally one day I just got in the car with my dog, Abby Rose, and it was a weekend. And I started driving around the neighborhood. Now, my neighborhood is four streets wide, three streets deep. So, it's, you know, I didn't have a hole. I probably could have walked it. But then I wound up in the neighborhood behind me, which is a little bit bigger. And I just started asking anybody who happened to be in their yard, do you know of a good yard crew? Do you know of anybody? And one guy said, well, you know, if you go to that house right over there, they have a teenage son. He cuts grass. This kid, I want you to know, he does a terrible job. He really does. But he's 16 years old. He is hard, hard working. And my thought is I will just show him what I want done. I will train him to meet my expectations rather than say, not good enough. It's working.
I am
so proud of this kid. You have no idea. I mean, he comes over here. He works his heart out. And he shakes hands. He makes good eye contact. He says, hello, Miss Denise. I'll keep him until he moves out from college if I can, just
wow.
because I'm so proud of his initiative.
That's awesome. I got a nephew like that who cuts lawns all over the neighborhood. He drives
yes.
his tractor on the street and locally and stuff. he's invested in his own blower, his own
right.
weed whacker, all this stuff. It's really, really cool. Well, how did you then get started in the field of, you know, virtual assistants?
I'm a web developer. I think you know this. I'm a web developer by trade.
Right.
I went back to college a little bit late in life, got my computer science degree, and then said, now what? What am I going to do with this thing? Because, again, I did not want to go work in somebody else's office or for a corporation. And I just, again, it was just that sense of knowing I knew that I could do this. So I did. I just did. I mean, no further thought, no further planning. I just did it, which sounds silly, but it worked. So then somewhere around 5 or 6 years ago, probably longer now, the term virtual assistant started kind of popping up, and I kept saying, what is that? And I went and I looked. And truthfully, what people were calling virtual assistants back then was just what I would call now concierge services. Mm-hmm. So you're basically just making appointments and, you know, that kind of stuff. I have no interest in that at all. But what I did do was define it a little bit more for my purposes. And I realized that I was already doing for so many of, well, for myself and for my clients, I was already doing what you could term virtual assistants. My web development clients across the board are still with me 10, 12 years down the road because I've kept on, you know, on top of, excuse me, on top of all of the different changes that have happened, you know, WordPress, membership sites. So I've stayed in touch with them over all these years saying, look, this is what's new. This is what's going on. You've got a book out. Have you looked at Kindle? And it just occurred to me that I was already doing this as basically added on, you know, value services from my existing clients. So it was a natural progression for me.
You know, that is one thing I teach all the time. You know, people think, well, I got to go get a new client. No, you don't.
Nope.
Sell your existing clients more services.
That's right.
They already know, like, and trust you. They find value.
Right.
You know, sell them.
And they will
other
refer
things.
You all day long.
Exactly. So I know you coach and mentor virtual assistants. By the way, I learned the term virtual assistants in 2006.
It hasn't been around that long.
I joined the mastermind group. It hasn't.
Nice.
So it was one of my first mastermind, my first paid mastermind group I was in, and there was this guy who was very successful, and he said, well, he gets all this stuff done. How are you doing all that? And he goes, I got a few virtual assistants. I'm like, what the heck's a virtual assistant? And he told me, I go, I got to get me some of them.
Yeah,
no. So cool.
Well, you got, what, 9 now or 11?
I got 9, yeah.
Right.
That I know of, anyway. So you coach and mentor virtual assistants personally, but probably mentor hundreds, you know, in your very popular Facebook group, your virtual assistant. What do you see are some of the biggest needs that virtual assistants are actually filling for their clients?
Oh, boy. I'm not even sure where to start on that. Really, what we should be doing as professionals, and it doesn't matter if you are making $15 an hour or $35 an hour, or like me, you're making $95 an hour, you need to take a huge burden off of your clients. You need to be able, as a virtual assistant, or in my case, an online business manager, you have to be able to look at their business model. You have to look at the holes in their business model. You have to be able to say, look, we're doing something this way, but this might be an easier path to get to where we want. And by the way, you're completely lacking in this area. How about if we step up and do something a little bit different? My view of the virtual assistance industry is that literally, and I've trademarked this phrase, you need to become their partner in success.
Well, I like that. Well, of course,
that's
your podcast.
That's exactly right. You can't, as a virtual assistant or an online business manager or even a web developer, sit at the end of the phone or sit by your keyboard and patiently wait for instructions. Your clients don't know what they need. Trust me on this. They don't. You know this, Jim. I mean, your people are trained in areas that you don't need to go. So I'm sure that they come with you all to you all the time and say, Jim, what about this?
So powerful.
Yeah.
So let's see. We're going to pause right here. Oh, I know. It is. You know what? If you listen to what your clients are telling you, I can't tell you how many businesses and programs I've developed because of what my clients said very innocently. Oh, it would be great. I need this or I need that. And I go, okay, I'll address that need. So listening to your clients' needs and not just waiting for, as you say, waiting for them to ring up on the phone is really good advice. So we're going to pause here for a really brief timeout, but on the other side, I'm going to ask Denise all about her podcast and how she's using it to grow her business. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are two types of small business owners. Those who are already profiting from the power of social media, building stronger, more powerful relationships with their customers and prospects. And those who are still sitting on the sidelines, wondering if it will work for them too. If you're still sitting on the sidelines, then no hassle social media is for you. Finally, there's a fast and easy done-for-you way to use social media marketing to connect with more customers and prospects, accelerating the know, like, and trust factor, all with no experience necessary. no-hassle social media not only shows you exactly what to do, it provides you with a ton of great content that you can use to promote your business and build stronger relationships with clients and potential clients. You get blog posts, Twitter tweets, Facebook posts, LinkedIn updates, and even video scripts. Get started profiting from social media today at www.nohasslesocialmedia.com. That's www.nohasslesocialmedia.com.
All right, we are back. Let's get right back to my interview with Denise Griffiths. So, Denise, you know, your podcast, which is called, again, Your Partner in Success Radio, which I love, is just really, you give some really great information, but how do you actually use that to grow your business?
You know, that's an interesting story. The truth is, I don't.
Okay.
I know. And that sounds, it sounds wrong, and I know that it does, but here's how that thing came to be. I am, intensely, incredibly camera phobic. I mean, to a point where I dropped my mother-in-law's camera in a glass of iced tea because she wouldn't stop. I hate having my picture taken. So all that being said, I needed, I think it was 2009, I needed a way to get people to not just read what I was writing on my blog, but, you know, to get that kind of sense of who I was. And my voice works. You know, it made sense to me to get my voice out there since I won't put my face out there. And I just started interviewing people and asking for people to come on the show, and people would say, "Who's your audience?" I don't know. I have no clue. I'm just doing this to see what I know. And those of you who are listening, don't do it the way I did it. Okay, it was wrong, but it just happened to work for me at the time. Maybe the timing was right. Maybe the guests were just phenomenal, or a combination of both, but it just happened to work for me. I don't suggest that you just kind of scatter it the way I did. But about, 2011 maybe, I'd had that question enough to where I went, you know, I doubt that I'm making any money out of this. I probably should not do it anymore. And I had never looked at my stats, Jim, not once.
Oh, wow.
And I went in, I know, again, don't do it the way I did it. So I went into my stats and I went, holy cow, that little show is getting downloaded on average 5,000 to 6,000 times a week, which is not bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought, okay, I'll keep doing it. I'm good. But as it turns out, and I have more clarity on it now, over time it just became something fun for me to do because I get to meet people like you and Jessica and Larry Wingate and Bob Berg. I mean, today I interviewed Meredith Elliott Powell. Phenomenal interview. Mm. Alon Safko. I mean, I get to meet the darndest people. So, of course, I wanted to do it from a purely selfish, you know, point of view. But then I started getting some really great feedback just kind of out of the blue, where I had one email not too long ago. A young UK soldier, you know, British soldier, sent me an email and said, "You know, I'm based in Afghanistan, and every time I come home, I load up my iPod with your podcast."
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I said, okay, I will keep on doing what I'm doing.
You know, that is a really, you know, there's an important lesson there. And are you familiar with John Lee Dumas' show, Entrepreneur on Fire? It's a really good podcast. And so he interviewed me on Monday, and we were talking about impact and lessons learned and things like that. And I said, you know, I, on a weekly basis, will put out a newsletter, a video, a podcast,
right,
you know, umpteen emails, social media. And sometimes, not a lot, but every once in a while, I'll get to thinking, is anybody reading? Is anybody listening?
Yeah.
Is anybody watching?
Yeah.
And, I'll, you know, all the head trash will kick in. And, you know, you start wondering. But then I go to live events, or you'll get emails, and people will tell you, you know, this is so, it's such good information you're sharing. And so I relate one story, Denise, and it had to do with my fourth book, It's Okay to Be Scared, But Never Give Up, but I did it with Martin Howie. And so we launched the book. It actually came out the 1st of February of last year. And, you know, we sold a pretty good amount. But then around April or May, just like so many things, I'm putting up my hand and say, "Hi, I'm Jim. I always drop the ball at the one-yard line," you know. You know, when you finish the book, you think you're done. But, no, that's when the big marketing kicks in. Well, both Martin and I were a little tired, moving on to other things. So, long story short, in April we had a phone call. I said, "Martin, we got to rev this up, get some more books out there." And literally about 2 days later, I got an email from a woman who said, Jim, I bought the book for myself, but my husband also kind of likes business, and he read it. And, you know, there's a lot of business advice in there, but there's also a lesson of early detection, because both Martin and I are cancer survivors.
Right.
And she said, my husband's a little overweight, and he occasionally had shortness of breath, and he decided to just go get checked out by his doctor. The doctor sent him to the ER. He had major blockage. They did a procedure. He's on medication, and he's going to be fine. But this is the key sentence. She goes, Jim, if it hadn't been for Scared, I think I would have buried my husband before his 45th birthday. And
wow.
Tears started coming out my eyes. And I started shaking a little bit. I forwarded it to Martin, and I said, I really don't care if we sell any more books. I think we've done our job with this book.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of a long story, but what it says is that we have to be out there sharing our knowledge, sharing the gifts and talents that we're all blessed with, and also, you know, just getting stuff out there so you can help people. And the fact that you don't hear from them doesn't mean you're not making an impact, just like that soldier.
Right. And that's exactly right. And when I looked at those stats and went, oh, my gosh, who are these people and where are they coming from? Well, and that doesn't count iTunes. You know, it gets downloaded in iTunes as well. So clearly there is something with the guest that I'm interviewing that resonates with my audience. And you know, Jim, I mean, you've been on my show. You'll be on it again. My goal when I set out to talk with you guys is to pull as much actionable tips and advice out of you as I can. But just as importantly, and maybe more important, I want to know the backstory. I want to know why you did it, how you did it, you know, what was your journey? Because we want to know, as people, as entrepreneurs, as business people, we want to know the story. That's the fascinating part to me. You know, how did you do it? How did you come to do this?
Absolutely. And when we wrote the book Scared, I said one of the things, Martin, I hope that comes out of this book is not only some hope and inspiration, but perspective. Because when people think they're going through crap, and they may be going through crap, and I don't minimize anybody's crap, but sometimes when you read about what other people are going through, you could say, well, I don't have it that bad, or thank goodness I don't have it that bad, or you could say, wow, I really am going through crap. But it really, when you read about what other people, so the fact that on your podcast, you know, your partner in Success Radio, you really pull out some stories. It's not just, what's your website? You know, what do you do? It's like, tell me, how did you get started? What's the thought process? You know, and it's really good. If somebody, you know, was listening to this and they go, wow, Jim and Denise both do podcasts, I'd like to do one too. What advice would you give somebody? Because you already said, don't do this.
Don't do it the way I did it.
What advice would you give them, Denise, about if somebody wanted to start a podcast?
I would say a combination of what I did, which is I just stumbled into it. But what I would say is go to Blog Talk Radio. It's free. For a 30-minute show, it's free. Then take your strategy, and you have this excellent, excellent social media strategy that I can only try to emulate. I mean, seriously, I just cannot keep up with you. And I've told you before on my radio show, I have followed you around for years before you've ever heard of me. I mean, I remember way back in the day when you had that, what was it, your very first product. I mean, I was watching that. I can't remember now what it was. But what I would do, anybody who wants to start a podcast, go to Blog Talk Radio. Sign up for the free account. If you want to do an hour-long show like mine, which sounds like an awful lot of time, it's not. Half the time we run out of time. It gets so interesting. But sign up for that. Create a show title. Create a strong tagline. Create an intro, you know, the music, create the outro, is that what you call it, Jim?
Yep.
Then line up some guests. People are pretty generous with their time. It's not as difficult to get guests as you would think it is. It's just not. But make sure that your guests are aligned with what you think your audience is. My audience is business. I finally figured that out. It's a business audience. But you know, I interview authors, speakers, fitness professionals. It really doesn't matter because we're all entrepreneurs. I really interview only other entrepreneurs. Doesn't matter what industry they're in. Then do what Jim has done, what you have done, Jim, which is to create a very strong strategy. How are you going to promote the show? Is it going into your newsletter? Is it going to Eventbrite? Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you have to have that strategy. And this is the thing that I would urge the most, be consistent. Be absolutely consistent. If you say your show is Friday at 11, you darn well better show up. Because if you don't, people go away. Yep. You have to rise above the white noise of everybody else.
That's such an important lesson, and I always talk about consistency. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my newsletter has been coming out for almost 6 years now, every Tuesday morning, like clockwork. Even when I'm away, I pre-write it, and in 6 years, there's been twice that I can think of that I forgot, because what I usually do is I'll write the articles the week before, and then I always interject the personal note at the top last minute, and I know that one time when Steph and I went to Hawaii for our 30th anniversary, I forgot, because I was out of, not out of the country, but out of the continent, I guess. And Kate stepped in and wrote something, and then I forget, there was a year ago. But it's like clockwork, and the same thing with my videos, and same thing with podcasts. And, you know, even the print newsletters, which I'm always, you know, talking about, I tell people it's not enough to just put it out monthly. You have to put it out the same 1 to 2 days every month, because things that arrive in your mailbox like clockwork have a higher perceived value, like your bills, your magazines, all those things arrive the same day every single month. Things that arrive sporadically are generally classified as junk mail, so you don't want to do that.
Right, right. Well, I learned my lesson fairly early on, because I think 2 weeks in a row I didn't have a guest, and I wasn't worried about it. This was about the time that I was thinking, why am I doing this? I've never, to my knowledge, made a dime out of it. And bring me back to that point in just a bit, if you would. But, you know, I thought, I don't want to do this. So the second week I didn't have a guest, I got email from people on Facebook going, where's your show? Are you sick? Seriously? So I started to pay attention. Well, the third week I still didn't have a guest. I just hadn't, I was lax. I didn't line anybody up. Jim, I kid you not, I called Larry Wingate, of all people. Larry, I need you on the show tomorrow. Okay. And he showed up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Whew. And I have not missed a show since. I just
that's
don't
so
dare.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. You wanted me to mention something about you hadn't made a dime from the show, or?
Well, that I knew of. And here's the thing. Once you finally start recognizing, as you did and I do, that you have this fairly intense following, they're talking about you. They're sharing your podcast. It's going here. It's going there. It leads back to your website. It goes a little bit viral. All doors lead back to who you are and what you are. You may not pick up a client that you know of from that, but you're picking up an awful lot of goodwill.
That's awesome. You know, that's just such good advice. So, you know, I'm writing my fifth book now, and it's called Don't Stop Waiting for It to Get Easier. Build the business of your dreams today. And so, folks, if you're thinking of building a podcast, if you do whatever, do it now. I mean, stop waiting. Good grief. I learned 12 years ago how short, you know, potentially short life can be. So you never know. So do it now. Denise, you have been such an awesome guest. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I have documents that I use that I send out, the show outline, a couple, you know, little blurbs. I say, okay, this is what I need. I need you to call in at this time. I need your headshot, your bio. I will be happy to share those documents if anybody wants them.
Okay.
This makes it easier.
So why don't you go ahead and how can people find out more about you or connect with you?
Just send me a mail at mail, M-A-I-L, at yourofficeontheweb.com, and the subject line is Jim Palmer. And I will send you those documents, and you're welcome to them, and I hope they help.
Because if it says Jim Palmer, you're going to open it right away, right?
That's exactly right. If it said Blog Talk Radio, I'd think, oh, man, my card expired.
There you go.
Jim Palmer.
Goodness. Speaking of cards expiring, you know, I moved checking accounts 3 months ago. And, you know, in this business, I there's got to be 20 automatic recurring things that hit my account. And I guess I forgot one of them, which was either every 6 months or a year. But it just happened to be my Amazon S3 account. All of a sudden, a bunch of my members were like, we can't access the templates. Where's the content? I can't do this. I'm like, what's going on? And they were trying to tap my card, and it no longer existed.
Right.
Anyway, I have no idea where that voice came from. But
well, we all do it.
Yeah. Denise, thank you so much. This has been a great show. You've shared some really great information, and I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I'm honored that you asked me, and I had a good time.
It was a good time. All right, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Denise Griffiths. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated, you too can talk, Jim, dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio this time next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.